Please turn for me in the Word of God to the 23rd Psalm. Be reading the entire Psalm. Please give your attention. This is God's holy and inspired Word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May God bless the reading of His Word. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we are so thankful for Your Word. We are so thankful, Lord, that we are not left to our own wisdom, our own devices, how we must worship and glorify You. We thank You, O Lord, that You lead us and guide us by Your Word and Spirit. And we thank You most of all for that one who's the living Word Himself, Jesus Christ. We do pray, O Lord, as we hear the Word proclaimed, that we truly might know that Jesus is the author and perfecter of our salvation, that our only hope is found in Him, that the only hope of forgiveness of sins and eternal life is found in Jesus Christ. So please be with us. May Your Spirit rain down upon us. This we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank you for your prayers on my behalf over the past year. It was at this time last year that I was coming out of a really bad bout with COVID, in which I was hospitalized for 23 days, had a blood clot in my left lung, and just was so thankful to the Lord for preserving me. As I was in isolation in the hospital, I did everything the doctors and the nurses told me to do. But I did something also that they didn't tell me, but I believe it was as important as anything else. I prayed and meditated upon the 23rd Psalm, minute after minute, hour after hour, day after day. And as I started to get better, and the possibility would be that I'd be able to preach again, I said, Lord, if You will, I'd love to preach on Psalm 23. And so this is an answer to prayer to be with you this morning. I am not quite myself. As you can tell by my forgetting a part of the apostolic salutation. But I am so blessed, and God has been so good. And again, rejoicing in His goodness to me. The 23rd Psalm is about the Lord who is the shepherd, but it's also personal. It's about the Lord who is our shepherd. It's about the one who has gone before us in all things. The shepherd who loves us and cares for us and promises to be with us always. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Is there a more familiar verse in Scripture? Is there a verse that is more comforting? But as many times as we've heard this psalm, have we really thought about what that declaration is, that declaration that the Lord is our shepherd and I shall not want? For instance, in regard to wanting, does this mean that whatever we desire, that the Lord is going to give it to us, that if we know He's our shepherd, that every prayer is going to be answered the way that we want it in this life? Well, listen to what the reformer Martin Luther said concerning this verse. He said, the world glories and trusts in honor, power, riches, and the favor of men. Our psalm, however, glories in none of these, for they are all uncertain and perishable. The Lord is my shepherd speaks a sure, certain faith, which turns us back upon everything temporal and transitory. You see, when David declares, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, he is directing us to set our gaze entirely upon that shepherd and to confess that the meaning of our life is found in that shepherd. So that even if we end up in hardship, might it be physical hardship as I was in, or other hardships, we're not to be undone. For we know that the Lord is our shepherd, that we will not want. He's going to love us and care for us and always be with us. Now, how much so is this the case? Verse 2 tells us, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. It's been interesting the last 15, 17 years coming to be with you about every fifth year to see what's happening to the neighborhood and to drive down 15 and to see what's happening there. But as I drive here, every time I've come that direction, it reminds me where I grew up in eastern Ohio. The nature of the farms and the nature of the land. So I grew up on a farm in eastern Ohio, but I did not grow up with sheep. I grew up with cattle. The only time in my youth in which a sheep were ever part of the farm I grew up in was that my grandmother, being very upset with my grandfather, decided one summer to have sheep just to sort of wreck his pasture. And because the sheep eat differently than the cattle, and that was quite a summer with those two. But what I'm going to share with you on this psalm about sheep and shepherding comes from a wonderful book, The Lord Our Shepherd. It was written by J. Douglas Macmillan. I would highly recommend it to you. It's published by Banner of Truth. J. Douglas Macmillan was a wonderful Reformed preacher of the last century. But for the first 12 and a half years of his adult life, he was a shepherd. And we'd get up every morning in Western Scotland and be with the sheep until the end of the day. And then the Lord called him to pastoral ministry. So what I'm going to share to you comes from Macmillan. But Macmillan states, as a shepherd, one of the hardest things to do is to get the sheep to lie down, because they're always scared. They're always frightened. They can't protect themselves. They can't really run away from those who are preying upon them. They can't hide. They're always nervous. They're always frightened. And they're dependent. They're dependent upon the shepherd to protect them. And this is the case for us. There are so many things that rattle us in this life. So many things that keep us up at night. So many things that are beyond us. Well, here in the Word of God, we have this word concerning the Lord, our shepherd, that one who wants to dispel the fear in our life, to give us peace, to have us be those at rest. And the imagery of the second verse here, to have us lie down in green pastures and to lead us beside still waters. And that's what our shepherd does. He brings us to that place which is lush and green, that we might eat and drink and be refreshed. The Lord provides for us. He provides for our earthly needs, but He also provides for our spiritual needs. For the shepherd knows that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that's what the shepherd does. He provides for us. He leads us beside the still water. But He doesn't stop there. He's the one who restores our souls. If we stray and we are wandering sheep, we all stray. He's the one who restores our souls. So on the one hand, if a shepherd cannot get sheep to lie down because they're always afraid, on the other hand, when sheep do lie down, oftentimes it's in the worst place possible. In other words, the sheep stray and they look for the softest, most comfortable spot. And what happens when they stray and look for the most comfortable spot, they become cast. And what that means is that they get in such a soft grounding that they cannot get their feet back under them. They cannot rise up again. And what happens with their legs beneath them and not being able to rise up because they are cast, the blood stops flowing to their three stomachs. And it is an utterly deadly position. And so if a shepherd isn't spending his time trying to get the sheep to stop being afraid to lie down, at other times he's searching for that one who has gone off the path, seeking the soft option, and is in a perilous position. And yet, what comfort here in the Word of God, that those who find themselves in this position, the shepherd seeks out, and the shepherd restores. The shepherd lifts up that one who has strayed, that one who has gone off the narrow path to the broad path. The shepherd does not let us destroy ourselves. And what comfort that should be for us. But he does even more. We're told in verse 3, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, like I said before, I grew up in Ohio with cattle. And with cattle, they're always getting out. They're always breaking through a fence. And what you do with cattle is you herd them. Cowboys herd cattle. That's not the case with shepherds and sheep. Shepherds go in front of sheep. And particularly in Palestine, if you were a shepherd in David's day, you didn't have fences. But what you would have is you would have paths. And you would have a field in which the sheep could graze. And that's where you'd want to direct them. But you would also have those places where the crops were. And if the sheep strayed off the narrow path and they went and destroyed the crops, you would be liable. But the shepherd, he not only is the one then that directs the sheep to where they should go, keeps them from going where they shouldn't go, he also goes in front of them so when the enemies of the sheep approach, he is the one that meets them. This is what the shepherd does. He's the one who leads the sheep down the narrow path. And he does so for his own name's sake, we're told in the text. In other words, this is how much the shepherd, in regard to not only making sure that you're at rest, making sure that you do not get cast, making sure that you stay on the right path. He does so for his own name's sake. In other words, he stakes his reputation on leading you to that place where you are going. What a shepherd. What love for the sheep. This is our shepherd. This is the one who goes before us. Now, what I want you to notice in the text is in these first three verses that we've just looked at, we're being told about just how great and loving and caring this shepherd is. But in verse 4, things change slightly. Because in the first three verses, David is talking about the shepherd, his shepherd. But in verses 4 through 6, he's talking to the shepherd. And you can notice this in the psalm by the change of the pronouns. In verses 1 through 3, the pronouns about the shepherd are in the third person. He makes me lie down. He leads me beside still waters. But starting in verse 4, the pronouns suddenly change to the second person. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You see, it's one thing to talk about the shepherd. It's another thing when you enter the deepest of valleys, the hardest of times, to know that you can talk to the shepherd. And to know that he is the one that even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you need not fear evil. For he is the one that is with you. He's the one that's there with you. And you can come to him in prayer knowing that this is the case. And we're told there in that first fourth verse, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, shepherds do not carry a rod and a staff. What they do is they carry one stick that acts like a rod and a staff. So the staff part, a shepherd has a little curve on it. So if a lamb or someone gets stuck in a marsh or a creek, you hook them and you rescue them. But if they're getting into something they shouldn't, you turn it around and you tap them. It's like a rod. And that's what the Lord, our shepherd, does. He is the one that is there helping us when we need rescue. He is the one correcting us when we need to be disciplined. But he does more than just defend us and protect us from our enemies. He also is that one that defies our enemies. We're told in verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Friends, we have just heard in the prayer before the start of the sermon, we live in a day that there's wickedness all around. We live in a fallen world in which there is sin all around, in which those oppose Christ and his church and are doing everything they can to oppose it. And we have the sure promise, however, of the shepherd that he is defying our enemies. We're told in verse 5, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Friends, what is happening right now as we are worshiping together and as we are hearing the word proclaimed and as we partake of the sacraments, it's defying the enemies of God. For the promise of Jesus Christ is that he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so we're not to be undone by what's going on around us, but we're to rejoice that we have such a shepherd and we have such a promise and that he feeds us and that he is with us and he cares for us. I mean, there's a blessing taking place as Christ is building his church, and there's not one thing that Satan can do about it. The strong man is bound. Christ is building his church, and how we should rejoice in that. The Lord then provides his Spirit. You have an anointing from the Spirit that is not only sufficient, but is abundant. My cup overflows. And so even in the midst of the hardships of this life and trials, you possess that which is so bountiful. And you have the promise that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When I was in the hospital, it was only on day 6 that I could even look like at a phone and, you know, be able to press a couple buttons to text. And I told a dear pastor friend of mine, I have been reading, meditating on Psalm 23 over and over. And he said to me, the goodness and mercy of the Lord shall follow you all the days of your life. And he said, because he was texting much more than I could in like my couple little words, he said, Danny, think of the goodness and mercy of the Lord as two hounds, two wonderful hounds that will follow you everywhere in this life. That's how much the Lord loves you. That's how much the Lord loves those who know that the shepherd is their salvation. And what a great comfort that was to me then, but what a great comfort it is to be to all of us, that as we make our pilgrimage to be with the Lord forever, in this pilgrimage through this valley of tears, we are those so blessed that the goodness and mercy of the Lord follow us everywhere we go. It is such an incredible portion of Scripture, and you know it. As I said before, this is one of those texts. It's like John 3, Romans 8. It's one of those texts that we come back to over and over again. But I want you to think again about this text. Think about all the blessings that have been described to us, proclaimed to us from this portion of Scripture. How are we worthy of them? We're those who complain to the Lord when we don't get what we want. We're those so often fearful of what we don't have in this life. We're those who so often leave the narrow path to go down the broad path of the world. We are so often those who don't look to the Lord as being with us in times of trouble. So often we believe that the powers of darkness have the upper hand. We forget about the goodness and mercy of the Lord, and we forget about the pilgrimage that we are on to heaven. How is this possible? I mean, we know our hearts. We know how much we have failed the Lord in thought, word, and deed. We know that what we deserve is His wrath and curse. We know that when the prophet Isaiah spoke in his 53rd chapter, that it spoke of us. For we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way. How is it possible that we have such blessings? Well, the prophet Isaiah also helps us out there. He tells us, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way. But the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And that's the good news. That the shepherd has laid down his life for us. And as we've heard this morning from John chapter 10, we know that this shepherd is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And our Savior is the one who has laid down his life for the sheep. Our Savior is the one who has done everything for our salvation. First of all, our Savior is the one who sought us out. We did not seek him. He sought us. Do you recall what's said in Luke's gospel about the one who has 100 sheep, and yet the one went astray, and he was sought out, and after he was found, the one who found him came back rejoicing. Well, that's what our Savior has done for us. He has sought us out when we have strayed, and he has brought us back rejoicing. You see, Jesus Christ is the seeking shepherd. Jesus Christ is the good shepherd who laid down his life for us. And again, it's a costly price. His shed blood. We are redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus. So Jesus, he is the seeking shepherd who gathers the remnant flock. He is the good shepherd who bears our sins with a grand purpose. But he is also the great shepherd, we're told in Scripture, who has taken up his life again. Hebrews chapter 13 declares that the God of peace has brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of an eternal covenant. Now, we are familiar with that benediction from Hebrews chapter 13. But are we familiar with where the writer of the Hebrews gets that from? He actually gets it from the prophet Isaiah, and it's the 63rd chapter of Isaiah. There, Isaiah is declaring that in the Exodus, in the Old Covenant, Moses was God's appointed shepherd of the sheep. And as a shepherd, Moses led the people of God out of captivity in order to make for God a glorious name. And so now the writer of the Hebrews comes along, and he says, as great a shepherd as Moses was in the Old Covenant, a better shepherd is here now, leading a better Exodus. For Jesus Christ is the great shepherd of the sheep. And Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection, has led out the captives from sin. He is the one that Moses was looking forward to. He is the great shepherd who leads forth his people from the realm of death to the Sabbath rest of God, and he does so unto the end of making the Father's name glorious. Jesus is the seeking shepherd. He is the great shepherd. He is the good shepherd. And we're also told in 1 Peter that he is the chief shepherd, that he goes to the cross, is risen from the dead, and is ascended upon high. And when the chief shepherd appears, 1 Peter 5:4, we are told that we will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Again, how is this possible? It's only possible through Jesus Christ. What a salvation. What a shepherd. In Jesus Christ, we have every good thing. You see, sometimes it takes, I went through an event in which all the vain things that charmed me most, whether it was my beloved teams or activities or events, they're taken away. And you become very thankful for Jesus Christ, the one who's the Savior of your sins. And that's why I say to you that I rejoice in our church, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. I know that OPC does not stand for only perfect church. We are sinners. We fail the Lord continually. We are sinners saved only by grace. But here is why I rejoice in our church and why you should rejoice also. When I was laying on that hospital bed, it was not Jesus the moralist, Jesus the environmentalist, Jesus the philosopher, Jesus the philanthropist. That was of no comfort whatsoever. Jesus, the Son of God who came into this earth to lay down his life for my sins, was my only comfort. And how we should rejoice that we belong to a communion that preaches that. That is the good news. That is the good news. And that's how great our shepherd is. And that's my prayer for you going forward in the pilgrimage that you have, is that you would trust in this shepherd who is the one who has paid the price for your sins and the one who promises to be with you until the end, and that you would follow after him in faith and obedience, and that you would be encouraged that truly that the Lord's blessing has shined upon you, because this is your shepherd. This is your shepherd, and he is the one who has done all things well. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, as we come to the table, we do pray, O Lord, that we would know that Jesus Christ is the one in whom salvation is found. We do pray, Lord, that you would raise our hearts heavenward as we partake of the elements. We do pray, O Lord, that we would know that left to our own works, left to our own efforts, O Lord, we fall miserably short. We have failed you continually, but we're so thankful, O Lord, that you have never failed us, and you have promised redemption in your Son, and he has worked a perfect redemption. This we do pray in his precious name. Amen.